Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dub Nation.
Dub Nation.
Dub Nation. Many years have passed, filled with titles.
NBA champions.
And new faces.
The Golden State Warriors select James Wiseman.
But now, the voice of the Warriors.
The voice of the Warriors.
Invites you to return to your seats.
Please take your seat.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
30 footer, got it!
Welcome back to the table.
On the exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95.7, the game.
Here's Tim Roy.
But no Derek White tonight on the back-to-back, so Lyles might get some time. Curry dribbles in, throws it up, back to the basket. It goes in. He got fouled. I don't believe what I just saw. How did he do that?
How did he do that? How does Curry do that? It's incredible what he's able to do on a night-in, night-out basis. And I got to tell you, it's every night he does something. Every night he does something that makes you stand up and take notice. He had 32 the other night in San Antonio. 12th time he's had 30 or more. But we expect that. We expect that to happen. But, you know, it's so funny. You know, you hear all the chatter that goes on about Stephen Curry, and a lot of it is really, I think it's kind of unfair. I don't think people really appreciate him. And I think you need to step back now and realize what you're watching and what, you know, what you're seeing on a night in, night out basis. That's the first thing I wanted to say tonight. I wanted to say that we have to sit back, appreciate Stephen Curry, realize that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity you're going to have to see one of the all-time great players. And I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing to watch night in, night out. And it's all because of his hard work. He's stronger this year. He's finishing. His numbers are very similar to 2015, 2016, when he was just on a tear. And he's averaging about 2.5 points less. He scored maybe about 30 or 40 points less. Actually, it's a little bit more than that, probably about 58 points less. But he's played 30 less minutes. His three-point numbers are really close. His rebounding numbers and assist numbers are almost identical. The only category where he is significantly down from 15-16 is in steals. And I think that's because their defense is a little bit different than what it was back then. And I just think, again, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, he should be playing more. Yeah, I'm not really sure about that. I don't think that's really what you want to do. In fact, as we start the show, and we've got a great show tonight, and I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that coming up later on in the hour, we can take your calls and questions with Anthony Slater of The Athletic. We'll talk about this, talk about Steph Curry and his minutes and his level of play. We're also going to hear from the head coach of the Orlando Magic, Warriors and Magic, tomorrow, 6:30 with a pregame show right here on 95.7 The Game. And I caught up with the head coach of the Magic after their practice in the Bay Area today. And also, coming up in just a moment, I chatted with Nico Mannion this morning after his G League bubble game in Florida, and what a great kid he is. You want to stick around for this. This is a really remarkable amount of poise, and he's articulate for a kid that had just 1 year of college. It's really, really good, and I hope you stick around for that. You can also give me a call at 888-957-9570. Hit me up on Twitter at Warriors Vox. Send me an email, timroy@warriors.com, or you can hit up the text line, same number as before. So, Steph Curry, one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, about the level of play that he's on, this tear that he is on. Couple of, items of the day. We expect to have James Wiseman get reevaluated in the next day or so. I don't expect to see him on the floor anytime soon, but, and by that I mean I don't expect him tomorrow. I don't expect him Saturday. I don't know what about Monday, but, you know, when they reevaluate him, you will know. And obviously, Kevon Looney still a ways off from getting reevaluated for him. So those are the two house cleaning opportunities, if you will. And I also want to say that congratulations to Juan Toscano-Anderson for winning the G League Community Assist Award. And what a great game he had last night. And I'm telling you, that kid is playing his way into an NBA career. He really is. He's so much better than when he first came to the Warriors, and he's realizing where he fits in the offense. He is an incredible hustle player. He's playing himself into an NBA career, just like that. So, later on in the hour, we'll be joined by Anthony Slater. We can take your calls and comments at that point. And we're also going to hear from Steve Clifford coming up later on in this half hour, the head coach of the Orlando Magic. And boy, they have had a tough, and I mean tough, run with injuries. We'll go over that in just a couple of minutes. But first up, I want to talk with Nico Mannion. I had a chance to chat with him earlier today. He had 17 points and 6 rebounds in his G League bubble game today. I think it's going to be a great experience for him down there to get minutes, to get time, get some shots up, and to get that confidence going, because we already know that with Nico, the floor game's fine. He knows how to play. He knows how to use the ball. He knows how to dribble. He knows how to penetrate and set up his teammates. Now it's just getting, and he's also a very pesky defender, but now it's just getting that offensive shot and threat on the perimeter up to the level where he's going to need it to be a long-term NBA player. So let's sit back and enjoy this conversation I had today with Nico Mannion. Well, Nico, you got your first game in the bubble under your belt. Tell me a little bit about the experience and go from the start. When you arrived there, what have you been going through and the end result today?
Yeah, to start off, JP, Jordan Poole, and I got here a couple days after everyone else. So we had a 4-day quarantine and then really just jumped right into it. Had 2 days of practice, a scrimmage practice, and then scrimmage again. So we're just kind of thrown right into it, which is, you know, I think that's the best way to go about it. And, you know, today was a tough one. They made a run, I'd say, in the second quarter. And it was just kind of an uphill battle from then. But it's a weird scenario that we're in, just because we're such a short training camp. We're still kind of just learning each other on and off the floor. So that's the biggest thing I'd say, is just the chemistry is still being built. And I think that we have spurts in the game where you could really see we're playing well, moving the ball, and we really, really look like a good team. And then we have spurts where the ball sticks a little more, not getting back as well in transition, just little things. So that chemistry is still being built, and I think – I mean, we still have a month here, pretty much 3.5 weeks. It's our first game. So I don't think there's anything to overthink, with the first loss, but we're just going to build on it, back to the drawing board, watch film, learn as much as we can from day one and take it into the next one.
You know, it's interesting because, it's got to be fun though, because you got to play 32 minutes and that's hard to get at the NBA level for you right now. That had to feel good.
Oh, it felt great. I was telling talking to the coaches and some of my teammates, just talking about how, you know, most of us, a lot of us haven't really played a game in almost a year, like a real game. And for me, you know, I'm in a little bit different scenario, being with Golden State for a couple months. But even at that, you know, the most minutes I think I played was 8 or 10. So just being able to get into a flow, playing, you know, 32, like you said, feels great. And I don't, in my mind, I didn't play great. I have a lot of things to clean up, but just that feel of being on the floor and being really, really involved is a great feeling. And, you know, I'm a hooper. I'm a gamer. I like to play. So not having that for whatever it was, I think 11 months was rough, but it's great to be able to get on the floor and be really, really in the mix. So that's another thing I'm really excited about about being here, is just being able to get that experience and playing those big time minutes.
Right, because that's going to help you when you get back up with the Golden State Warriors. What's your experience been like with the Warriors? Obviously, you know, you come in, you know, you got Steph Curry there, Draymond Green's there. So there's a little star power there when you walk in the door. What was that like?
You know, they're, to your point, of course, yes, they are stars. And in my opinion, Steph, I say this all the time, Steph is one of, if not the best, point guard in my opinion. And they're stars, like you said, but they're both just great people. They don't act like stars, which I think is huge, which is a big reason why I think the culture is so good in Golden State. Draymond, I think he missed the first two games, maybe three games. And since he was back, it was a totally different vibe. He just brings the leadership. He's super vocal. And he's just a great dude. He's someone that everyone respects and will listen to. He's got a gift that he leads. So stuff like that, I've learned a whole lot from them, just about how they carry themselves as well off the court. Another point with that is, you know, Steph, like I said, in my opinion, one of the best point guards of all time. But I told him one day, because we came in, it was an off day, and I went in to stretch. And I think we were leaving on a flight, but I went in about an hour and a half before we were supposed to leave for the flight. And there was no one in the gym except Steph by himself, you know, stretching, lifting. No trainers, no coaches. He was just in there by himself, no music. And I told him that day, I was like, it's really reassuring when it's not just, not even your best player on the team, but one of the best players ever, is, you know, in the gym on an off day by himself. And that's kind of the culture that's been built there. So being able to be a part of that is special.
Nico Mannion, my guest. I'm Tim Roy, and of course, this is the Warriors Roundtable on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game. Nico, has it ever occurred to you that you look at your life, and just a couple of years ago, you might have been, say, studying for a chemistry exam in high school, and now you're, you know, going on an NBA floor, and you're playing against people that you've, you know, looked at for years. Has the rapidity of your basketball maturity ever surprised you?
You know, I've always kind of had a knack for learning the game and watching the guys in the NBA. So to be here now and playing and matching up with guys that I've watched before and playing with guys I've watched and studied is, I think the best way to put it is just a blessing. You know, we guys that make the NBA work their tails off for that opportunity. And to be here is just a blessing. So I'm just going day by day right now. But it's special. And it's something that you dream of and you kind of have in the back of your mind. Like, that's what I want to do. That's my goal. And when it really happens, it hits you like a truck. Draft night was crazy for me, to say the least. And from then, like I said, I've just been trying to take it day by day because there's so much that goes on. There's so much to learn as a rookie. That I'm just trying to take it day by day and soak up as much information, knowledge from the guys around me as I can.
So on draft night, did your dad point out that he was taken five picks earlier by the Warriors? Did he point that out?
You know, it's funny. I used to always mess with him because going into the draft, I was pretty sure I was going to get drafted above him. And I always used to give him, you know, talk trash and tell him, like, I'm better than you, whatever, just talking. But he was like, until you're drafted ahead of me, you can't say that. So draft night, I was looking forward to telling him that. And, you know, I slipped to 48, and that was one of the first things he said. He was like, hey, apparently you're still not better than me. And then he looked at me, and I was still mad about it, of course. He looked at me, he was like, is that too early? And I just said, yeah. But that's kind of the relationship we have. we can joke around about stuff like that. So it was pretty funny.
It's great because, you know, I can see where it really helps guys who have had dads in the league before. I see it with Steph. I saw it with Klay Thompson. I mean, it's got to be nice because he knows the anxiety and the ups and downs that you go through. It's got to be nice to have that sounding board.
100%. And him and my mom have both been great. My mom played professional volleyball. So basketball, the details is always dad talking, but the hard work, consistency, the detailed work, you know, the life lessons, mom is also involved, and they've supported me through everything. So I'm super thankful for that. But my dad, playing is a huge help to me. You know, he really understands the game. He played 6 in the NBA, 13 overseas, 4 in college. So he's been through a lot of basketball, and then was involved with the Jazz, working with the Jazz. So he's kind of always been in basketball. So he really understands it. And it's nice to have him to lean on, I'd say. You know, after games, I can call him, and I know he's not gonna he's gonna shoot it straight with me. He's not gonna sugarcoat anything. If I play well, he'll let me know. If I play bad, he'll let me know. So it's a huge positive for me.
Final question for you: we've all been kind of prisoners of our own domains, if you will, because of the pandemic, and I hope that everybody connected with the Manning family is healthy and happy through this, and you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel now. We can see it and to get through there. But what keeps you busy when I know you're a gym rat, but when you're not at the gym and maybe you need to get away from hoop for an hour or two, what do you do?
I mean, especially with quarantine, it's just been, I'm on FaceTime a lot with, you know, just my close people, whether it's my parents, some of my best friends, whatever it is, just talking to people. And my family and my close friends, they understand that we rarely talk about basketball, which is really nice. That's how I like it. It's kind of just gives me an outlet, get away from the game. I mean, being around it, you know, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day. It can get tiring if you're going home and just talking and thinking about basketball all day. So I got a good outlet with the people around me. I have a good circle. So it's usually that. Now that it's quarantine, and San Francisco was closed for a little bit, most of the stuff was closed. So just I'm really at home. I'll turn Netflix on and throw whatever it is on. I don't have any specific shows or movies I watch, but just really chilling, making sure I'm taking care of my body, stretching. And just being on the phone and having that comfort with my close friends and my family.
Well, the only thing I can tell you about the NBA that I know for sure is I've been around the league for over 30 years now, and it doesn't really matter where you were drafted. It matters what you do with it. And, Nico, I think you're going to do just fine. I appreciate your time tonight. You had 17 points, 6 assists, a couple of steals today in your first G League bubble game. I wish you nothing but success there, and hopefully when the pandemic subsides, we get a chance to sit down and meet face-to-face.
Definitely. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on here.
Nico Mannion down in the G League bubble, and what a great kid he is. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Coming up, Steve Clifford, the head coach of the Orlando Magic, Anthony Slater of the Athletic. That's in our next segment. But I want to remind you that the Warriors Basketball Academy has reopened the doors to their facility in Oakland. For a limited time, they're offering a free physically distanced shoot 360 workout. Improve your game in our shooting and skill cages by going to GSW Academy.com. That's GSWAcademy.com. When we come back, your calls and comments with Anthony Slater of The Athletic and a conversation with the head coach of the Orlando Magic, Steve Clifford. This is the Warriors Roundtable on your home for Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Each and every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable. The table has returned on 95.7 The Game. Now back to Warriors Vox.
A look away three. Oh my goodness. That's ridiculous. You've got to be kidding me.
Tim Roy.
Well, the Warriors play the Orlando Magic tomorrow. 6:30 with the pregame show. Tom Tolbert will be alongside from Chase Center. Warriors 13-12 on the season after a 2-2 road trip, which, by the way, I thought was pretty acceptable when you consider the injury problems they had. Now, We should all get greedy, though. They could have had easily had a 3-1 road trip and winnable games. If we talk later on the season, winnable games, there have been a few that have slept, kind of gone away there. They were right there, and the Warriors have not captured them. So hopefully they'll be able to convert on those a little bit better as the season progresses. Orlando's 9-16. But they started the year 6-2. But let me tell you a little bit about what Orlando has gone through. Jonathan Isaac didn't even start the season for them, out with a torn ACL before the year began. Happened last year during the bubble, or actually in last year, in I think it was in Sacramento, might have been. Markelle Fultz out with a torn ACL. Aaron Gordon, the pride of Archbishop Mitty, high ankle sprain, basically an ankle sprain. He's been out for a while and will continue to do so. Evan Fournier's missed the last two because of back spasms. Michael Carter-Williams has been out with a sprained left foot. He's been out for a while. It's really been hard for the Orlando Magic, and we know about this. The Warriors have had their share of injuries. No Klay Thompson for the second year in a row. Wiseman out. Looney's out. Marquise Chris is out. Every team goes through it, but for a team like Orlando, these are a lot of key players for them that are not going to play this year, and it's really tough. The association's very cruel with injuries, and that's kind of where I started the conversation with Steve Clifford. He's the head coach of the Orlando Magic, a very good coach in the NBA and one of the great guys in the NBA, and I talked to him after their practice earlier today.
Well, Coach, if you last long enough in the association, every team has a year where you turn around, it seems like every other day somebody's going down with an injury. Just looking at it from afar, it looks like it's that kind of year for the Magic.
No, so far we haven't had good luck with health, but we are getting guys back, and like last night, we played a lot better defensively, so I think our guys have a good attitude about it, and they understand that there's a lot of season left to turn things around. And the whole key, as you know, in this league is continue to make progress and play better. So we just, had a little workout here this morning, and I think we got some things accomplished.
Coach, how do you maintain the attitude and the spirit among the troops when, you don't have all your healthy bodies, you don't have the guys you want to have out there? How do you keep it positive?
Well, I think the biggest thing is really a lot of that is we're fortunate in that we have good guys, and I think they do want to win badly, and they understand, the situation is, it's the NBA, and the one thing about it is, even though we don't have all the guys that we planned on having, is on a given night in this league, every guy that's on a roster is a talented player. And when you put things together on a given night and you play well in the team areas, you can give yourself a chance to win. And I think our guys understand that.
When you look at a guy like Nick Vucevic, is he maybe the best player that the pundits don't talk about in the NBA?
He's terrific, and he's having a great, great year for all the right reasons. He prepared hard during the time that we had to prepare for training camp. He's very professional. He's got a great routine, and he's playing, really well in all aspects of the game. So he's scoring. He makes our offense go as a playmaker. His defense has been very good, and he's always been an excellent defensive rebounder.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because he's so automatic scoring-wise. I think he's really, really good. I have to ask you about a guy that the Bay Area is pretty proud of, Aaron Gordon. He went to Archbishop Mitty High School in San Jose. I know he's been out with the ankle, but what do you see with Aaron in terms of making that next step in the association?
Yeah, that injury's been a big hit for us. And you talk about Archbishop Mitty, we actually, our whole team, when we played out here last year, they retired his number, and all of us went to the ceremony, and it was very cool. I mean, we all enjoyed it. Aaron has a significant ankle injury. And again, he was off to a great start at the defensive end and also passing the ball. He's actually, with the injuries we've had with Markelle Fultz and Michael Carter-Williams, before he went down, he was actually playing a considerable number of minutes every night at the point guard position. you know, we're you know, kind of scrambled around, and we're missing that right now, but hopefully we'll get him back soon.
Yeah, he was averaging over 4 assists tonight. Before I let you go, I have to ask you about your rookie, Cole Anthony. And we saw him play at Steph Curry's camp a couple of years ago, and he looks like he's going to be the real deal.
Yeah, he's a, you know, the, I think the number one thing, I remember when I was the Knicks and Coach Parcells was coaching the Jets then, and he said the most important thing to look for in a player is can they compete naturally without the aid of a coach? And that's Cole. Cole has a, he has a love of the game. He likes to be in the gym. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's a drill. It's a shooting. It's individual stuff. It's team concepts. He enjoys basketball, but he competes naturally. It's such a big asset. And he's kind of thrown into a tough situation here because, again, as you know, there's no summer league for these guys this year. There were no, you know, September optional workouts. So he's kind of learning on the fly, but he's getting better and better, and he's doing a really good job.
That's great to hear, Coach. And I know he's got a lot of help with you as his head coach. As always, we thank you for your time. It's great to talk to you. I wish I could talk to you face-to-face, but continued success, and hope your team gets healthy pretty soon.
Thank you very much. Good talking with you.
That's Steve Clifford, the head coach of the Orlando Magic, and like I said, one of the great guys in the league, and also a very good coach. A quick reminder, the Warriors are teaming up with Kaiser Permanente and the Athletes Corner to turn points into meals with Swishes for Dishes. For each, I feel like I'm like Steve Albert. For each point the Warriors score this season, 100 meals will be donated to local food banks to support Bay Area families. Go to warriors.com/swish. To learn more. Time now for you to have audience participation here on the Warriors Weekly Roundtable on our home for Golden State Warriors basketball. That's 95.7 The Game. Give me a call, 888-957-9570. Hit me up on Twitter at Warriors Vox. Send me an email, timroy@warriors.com, or hit up the text line again, same number, 888-957-9570. A lot to talk about. Steph Curry with his tremendous play. I wholeheartedly agree with the Warriors' strategy on how they're going about the minutes with this. And I just think that right now, when you look at this last road trip, the fact that, you know, even during the road trip, they didn't have Eric Paschal. They really, I thought, played well. I thought they had a really good trip. I thought the San Antonio, the first game, was their worst game. I really thought they had a chance to go 3-1 on this trip. And I really think that the opportunity was there. Now, that's one thing. Second thing is that I think this team has more upside than most teams right now in the NBA. And a lot of teams are like the Warriors right now. There's so many teams right around 500. And it's because of the unusual circumstances, the unusual situations. I mean, you can even go and just look at the scores tonight from around the association. And, you know, the scores are wildly fluctuating around the league night in and night out. And I think that's part of what we're, you know, playing during a pandemic, playing with these conditions. It's not normal. Nobody's in their comfort zone. And so I think for the Warriors right now, I think they're in a spot where I think they're getting used to each other. I think there are certainly players that are still not comfortable inside the system. I think Wanamaker will get more comfortable as the year goes on. Bazemore is already getting comfortable. I think he's starting to really, you know, get back to being a Warrior Bazemore. And I think that's really helping because I think when he's active and when he's knocking down a three, he doesn't have to hit three or four, just a couple, hit a couple and hit him at the times where he's wide open, then I think that's a huge plus for Golden State. And obviously, you know, the Kelly Oubre Jr. is the one. He's the one that really, I think, is struggling a little bit to fit in with the offense and try to find his way inside the offense. But the numbers are there right now for him in terms of productivity. his numbers, his shooting numbers, are all starting to climb in the last 12, 13 games or so, as opposed to the previous games before that. And so that's a very good sign, and I think he's got a chance to do that. So what are your thoughts? What do you think about where the Warriors are right now? You can give us a call at 888-957-9570. Send me a tweet at Warriors Vox, and we'll try to answer as many as we can. Bob wants to know a little bit about Steph Curry and this pace that he's gone through. Here's a number that was unearthed today that did not know, Bob. And here it, Steph Curry has scored 741 points through 25 games this season. 741 points in 25 games. Now, the only player age 32 or older in NBA history to score more points at this point in a season, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the only one who has scored more points at this point in the season, 32 years of age or older. Steph Curry, 741 through 25. Only MJ has scored more. That shows you, again, going back to what I said, if you missed it at the top of the show, take a step back. Enjoy what you're seeing. Enjoy what you're listening to on the radio, because he's a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, experience, and I think we all need to kind of recognize that. But there are some who think he should play 48 minutes. Steve Kerr was asked about minutes and Curry when the second unit struggled in San Antonio, and here is what the head coach had to say.
I'm into the long game. We're counting on having Steph here for a long time, many, many years ahead. I'm not interested in grinding through this season, which is already a very difficult season given the COVID regulations and just the nature of the games themselves, you know, these eerie, empty stadiums. This is, for me, for our organization, you know, we're not throwing Steph out there for 40 minutes to chase wins. We got another game tomorrow. We want Steph to be playing at a high level for many years, so we're going to stay very disciplined and try to keep him at that 34, 35-minute mark.
That was Steve Kerr after Game 1 in San Antonio. Let's bring in Anthony Slater of The Athletic. He covers the Warriors and the NBA for that fine, I guess I should say website. I can't say publications anymore. So for that website. And, Anthony, first of all, thank you for coming on the Warriors Roundtable. And what are your thoughts on all of that? I think, you know, Steve Kerr playing the long game, that's something he's done since day one.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was like, I mean, I asked him the question about the minutes because I did feel it was a night to go try to get it. Just, you know, considering the feel of the game was like Curry, obviously, is on the scorching streak. The second unit was bad. The Spurs are a very, very beatable team, and they entered the fourth quarter up two, and by the 8:30 mark, they were down six, and Patty Mills hit a three, and like you just felt that momentum. It felt like such a crucial point of the game. They call a timeout, and I thought he might go back to Curry, which would have stretched his minutes to like 38, 39 that night. And he didn't go back to Curry. He three more minutes. He didn't put him until the 5:30 mark, and they were down, I think, around 10 by that point. And, you know, Curry almost brought him back. I think he scored 14 in the final 5:30. But it just – it felt – I've compared it to like what Portland does with Lillard sometimes. You go look at Lillard's game log. It's usually 35 minutes. But you'll see, all suddenly they're in a close game with Toronto. They played them 40. They beat Toronto by a few points. It just felt like a night to try to steal one. And that would be the only small criticism I have. Now, I do agree with Steve. Like, don't play this guy 38 minutes a night to just try to, like, stretch yourself for 46 wins. But I think they could be selective with it, especially with the condition he's in and the fact that, like, it's still a fun season. And if they can get up to a 5 seed, I know it probably won't lead to a title, but, you know, it's still worth it, I think.
The number is 888-957-9570 if you want to give us a call, or you can send me something on Twitter at Warriors Vox, a tweet on Twitter at Warriors VOX. You can send me an email, timroy@warriors.com. Anthony Slater, The Athletic, our guest. You know, the play of Steve Kerr, I mean, excuse me, play of Steve Kerr, play of Stephen Curry, which we were talking about Steve Kerr and his comments, but I got to tell you, I mean, he looks bigger, he looks stronger, he looks like he's figured out how to finish a little more efficiently, if that's possible. I got to tell you, he's playing at a level that you'd have to go back to their 73-win season to really chart it.
Yeah, and if you go back to that 73-win season and watch the highlights, as good as he is, he's skinnier. He's easier to bump off spots now. He was just flinging in, you know, 30-footers at a ridiculous clip. He had 402 threes that season. But you mentioned it on your lead-in there. The guy has built up his body over the last few years where he's just stronger. He's like, you know, I wouldn't call him necessarily buff, but that used to, I mean, remember one of the deepest criticisms on him early in his career was just like he looked like a little kid out there. He does not look like a little kid anymore. I mean, he really kind of absorbs contact while he's finishing at the rim well. And, I mean, cardiovascular-wise, like, is there anyone who runs around the court, scatters the way he does, you know, from minute one to, like, the final minute of the game? I mean, clearly that just has obliterated the scouting reports of defenses. They don't know what to do. I mean, I put that clip up online, but they had 10, during this road trip, they had 10 uncontested dunks against a half-court set defense solely because two defenders were so freaked out by Steph Curry, they doubled him way off the ball and just led to it just wide open dunk.
Well, yeah, it's so funny. You know, on radio, I call it gravity. You know, he cuts and everybody goes with him, right? They're sucked to him, and it's Juan Toscano energy.
That's what it calls, which is true.
Yeah. And JTA just goes right to the room, says, "Hey, thank you." Bang. You know, it's like it's really funny that I don't think he gets enough maybe nationwide. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong about that, but let's move on and talk about where the Warriors are. It's a 500 team right now, roughly. It's a Jekyll and Hyde team. You know, one night I think, hey, it's great. You know, they're really got this turn the corner, and then another night it's not so good. In this part of the season, what will it take for the Warriors to become more consistent and maybe rattle off a few wins in a row, like four or five wins in a row?
It's a good question. You know, you would like a soft part of the schedule for them. This week is, I think, softer than people realize. The Magic, I think, are 3-14 maybe in their last 17 games. Like, a lot of their best players are injured, so this is, you know, you should open the homestand with a win if you play well. The Nets, while they have star power, are getting scored on a ridiculous clip lately. They've lost some bad games lately. And then Cleveland and Miami, two beatable, you know, winnable games. Miami's not having a good season. So this seems like a homestand. If they do stay sharp, if Curry stays as hot as he is, you could maybe get 3 out of 4, maybe even 4, you know, and that is how you gain the rhythm that you're talking about. But I think that means Kelly Oubre needs to play more consistently, and I'm not ready to predict that. I don't know if you are. You know, Wiggins, I think, has hit a little bit of a lull. He's still playing very good defense, but, you know, I guess his offensive contributions have gone down a bit. If you could get those two wings playing well at the same time, semi-consistently, which they haven't had this year, right, then I think you gain some momentum. I do think Draymond is catching his wind a bit more. He's not going to suddenly start scoring a bunch, but he's doing a lot more than he was maybe a couple weeks ago. And you get Wiseman back. You know, they're going to need a center back soon when you're playing Vucevic without him tomorrow. Andre Drummond coming up. Like, you know, if Wiseman can come back, look a bit mentally refreshed and maybe, you know, have some big dunk games, they can get a rhythm.
What do you think about Wiseman? What's your assessment so far of him when, obviously, when healthy?
I think he has exceeded early expectations. I think if, you know, sometimes I think about this on the market for value. If you went and said a day before the NBA draft, the Warriors said, hey, the second pick is available. What can we get with it? I think you can now get more. I think his stock has risen. Yes, he has shown some young flaws, but he's also shown some young potential superstar flashes. I think before he got injured, he was one of only 5 players in the league that had 40 dunks, over 25 blocks. And of those 5 players that had done that, he was the only one that had even made a 3, and he's made 9 threes early in his career. It's about as unique a skill set as out there, the rim protection and the ability to stretch the floor. And, you know, we will see where that goes. He has a lot to learn, and, you know, within the team game, which was what we all knew going in the draft. He's only played 3 college games, but I mean, I don't know how you can't watch 10 minutes of him and realize like that's the type of skill set that teams froth over, basically, out there. It's so rare at the center position. It's funny. I feel like when you talk to people that don't watch the Warriors on a minute-by-minute basis, they're higher on Wiseman because they realize the upside, where the people that try to break down how is he helping winning basketball this season are a little bit more critical of him.
There's no doubt about that. I've been around this league a long time. Let me tell you, when you see a guy a couple times a year or you see him three or four times a year and you see what you see is what he can do. When you're watching him every night, what you see is what he can't do. And it's a funny phenomenon, but it's really weird in the NBA. And I think for those of us who cover the NBA, it's something to be mindful of, because we watch guys in small sample sizes and go, wow, look at that guy. Where the guys who are watching them all the time say, well, not so much. So it's really a nice lesson. Anthony Slater with The Athletic is with us. 888-957-9570. I've got a couple of hits on Twitter at Warriors Vox, Warriors VOX. Send me an email at timroy, TIMROYE at warriors.com. I'll get to as many as we can. You can hit the text line at the same aforementioned number. So when we come back, more with Anthony Slater of The Athletic. He's been nice enough to stay with us here on the Warriors Roundtable on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy is holding court. Pun intended.
Join me in my court at Camelot.
The Warriors Roundtable on 95.7, The Game. Now back to Warriors Vox.
It's good!
Tim Roy.
Anthony Slater of The Athletic, nice enough to stay with us for a couple more minutes, and I appreciate that. You can hit us up at 888-957-9570. Your questions about the Warriors and the NBA. I'm going to Twitter, though, first. Marion wants to know about the status of JTA. Will he go to the bubble? How much time does he have left to play with the Warriors? I believe, Anthony, he's played 12 games, so now that would give him, what, 38 left?
38. And, yep. It's a 72-game season, so he really only had to sit 22, and he's probably, what, at this point, set about 12
I said this on the air last night. I think he's playing himself into an NBA career.
The Warriors, right? I mean, I don't think any team will value him nearly like the Warriors do, particularly in the Steve Kerr system and the Curry ecosystem. I mean, you saw, just the way he knows how to cut and pass, and his flaws are kind of hidden. But as far as his situation, the Warriors can be patient. You have a lot of fans that are already like, why doesn't he have a roster spot? They don't need to decide on that right now. Remember when Quinn Cook was their starting point guard a couple of years ago?
Yes.
But he was a two-way all the way to the last day of the regular season until they decided, yes, they needed him in the playoffs, and they cut on McCaskey. It will probably be similar because they have such a runway of games to keep playing JTA. And, there's questions about Smiley Geach's future. There's questions about Poole's future. Mulder, who's on a non-guarantee. Damian Lee, he's going to stick around, but he does have a partial guarantee. I think the Warriors want to wait a couple months, let it play out, see how Smiley Geach might look, when he gets healthy enough to play in the bubble. And then if it comes down to it, if they're heading towards the playoffs and JTA is clearly still part of the rotation, they will make a roster move. But they're just in no rush to make one right now.
Dwayne from Yolo County wants to know about Kelly Oubre Jr. and what do you think? And I've been charting some of the numbers, Anthony, and it looks like the last 12, 13 or so games that his numbers have been climbing and they're getting better. The consistency isn't there as of yet. What do you see?
Well, he was one made three away from hitting 30% for the season on threes last night. I remember I think he went two or three, and I was waiting to see if he'd hit the next one to, tweet it out. Because that would have been kind of an accomplishment for a guy who started, 0-14 at one point. I mean, what was he, 3-40 at some point? So he's climbing up towards 30, and, historically he's in the low 30s. Last season he was at 35%. If he can be that consistently, which he has been lately, around 35, 36%, he's more passable out there on the court with Curry. He's more of a floor spacer because he's going to get the open shots. He still does stuff that gives coaches and fans headaches. He's going to keep doing that type of stuff. He's going to, have tunnel vision on the fast break. He's going to miss a wide open Steph Curry. He's going to sometimes run into Steph Curry off the ball when he's supposed to be cutting. But – I think the Warriors, for at least this season, or at least until the trade deadline, have learned to live with that because he gives them so much defensive disruption and juice and athleticism out there that they don't necessarily have. And he's kind of a wild card. I mean, look at his splits and wins and losses this season. It's way different. He's kind of weirdly a barometer. And if you're a playoff team, you don't necessarily want Kelly Oubre to be your barometer. But I understand why he's starting. I understand why he's playing so much. And they kind of just have to live with it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because he has to lead the league in drawing illegal screens. He draws like one or two a game.
First down, too, after, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. First down. I was listening to Eddie Johnson the other day on a Phoenix Suns telecast, and he brought him up, but he swears by him. He says he's going to be fine. He just needs more time. Maybe that's the case. Do you think that coming to the Warriors and running inside this system with Steph and Draymond is – that requires a certain amount of time to adjust it?
Yes, and you're already seeing it. I mean, on this road trip, he completed some plays, some offensive sets that he wouldn't have on the first or second road trip. You know, like Steph Curry back screens where he knows when he's supposed to curl around. He gets a lob from Draymond. They did that three times on the road trip. He had a couple nice cuts into some open spaces, which he wasn't doing. So, yes, he's learning it. He's getting better. I mean, he's just been a better player. If you look at the subset of, like, the last 15 games compared to the last 10, he's been a better player in the last 15. He'll probably be a slightly better player in the next 15. But the reality is this isn't really a system that is conducive to his style of play. I think if I was maybe his agent, you know, assessing where his career is going, I would probably maybe tell him to go to a more simplified offensive system where his, you know, skills can shine a bit more. But he is growing within this current situation for him, and he's in a contract year, so he's going to want to show that he's a bit more versatile than maybe the reputation says.
Now, are you announcing a career change right now? You're going from writer to agent?
I mean, we're basically, you know, we're take artists. That was more of I'm delivering takes in agent form, which we do already, right?
Hey, I really appreciate your time tonight. You know, I always enjoy talking ball with you. But by the way, I'm remiss. Do you have anything that you need to plug? Anything coming up?
I mean, I just write a ton about the Warriors on a daily basis on The Athletic. So just a subscription to The Athletic. And then we have our own podcast, the Warriors Plus Minus podcast, that can get pretty lively, some Warriors discussion. So that's probably what I would plug.
Check it out, and check him out on Twitter at Anthony V. Slater. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Yep, thanks for having me.
That's Anthony Slater of The Athletic. I'm Tim Roy. Let's get to your Kaiser Permanente scoreboard right now. A lot to get to, and let's look at a final from earlier tonight. The Toronto Raptors go to Washington and win big. They had a 40-point first quarter. They win 137-115 over the Wizards. 28 for Norman Powell. Russell Westbrook had 23. Second quarter action in Denver. The Cleveland Cavaliers will see them on Monday night, but the Nuggets right now lead 51-29, 6:03 to go before the break. 5:45 before halftime in Chicago. Bulls 59, Pelicans 54. And in the fourth quarter, the LA Clippers lead the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minneapolis, 82-75. They're just underway in the fourth. Also just underway in the fourth quarter, Memphis 101 and Charlotte 83. 10:46 to go in the fourth in Brooklyn. The Nets, after losing to Detroit last night, lead 82-64 over Indiana, and that is a decisive advantage over a pretty solid Pacer team. Nets are 14-12. Dallas 107 and Atlanta 101. 4:44 to go. The Mavericks have outscored the Hawks 26-11, and that is in the fourth quarter. As I mentioned, 4:44 to go. Let's move on and check the upcoming broadcast brought to you by NBC Sports Bay Area. The Warriors taking on the Orlando Magic tomorrow night, 6:30 with the pregame show. We get our first look at the rookie, Cole Anthony.
His second shot is no good. Rebounded by Anthony. 2 seconds left. Anthony for the win.
Got it!
He throws it! Cole Anthony gives the Magic a victory. Improbable. Unbelievable. In Minneapolis. The rookie comes through again in the clutch. in the fourth quarter.
Now, on Saturday, the Warriors will entertain the Brooklyn Nets, 5 o'clock with the airtime. It's the return of Kevin Durant.
Harden driving it right down the lane. Floater is off the side of the rim. Got his own miss. Peels out to the wing with the dribble. 9 to shoot now for the Nets. 1.5 minutes to go in overtime. Durant wants it up top. Durant takes it left. Durant to the rim and a slam. And the Nets take a 129-123 lead with 1:25 to go in overtime.
And on Monday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers in town. That means Andre Drummond.
Keep him in and shoot free throws down the stretch as Simmons had that blocked by Drummond. Here goes big Andre rumbling into the forecourt. Finds Garland behind the back. Oh, mercy! Nance with a two-hander.
So the Warriors and the Cavaliers, 6:30 with the pregame show, and that is on Monday night. Coming up, the final word with Ryan Covey and John Dickinson. They want to know, is Stephen Curry the most important athlete in Bay Area sports history? Give them a call at 888-957-9570. I'm Tim Roy, thanking all of our guests on the Warriors Roundtable. We want to thank Nico Mannion down in the G League bubble, the head coach of the Orlando Magic. That's Steve Clifford, of course, Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Bobby Spang and his gang of ruffians back in the studios at 95.7 The Game helped us through. And as always, the show is produced by the one, the only R.C. Davis. The C stands for Cuddles. I'm Tim Roy. Talk to you tomorrow night when the Warriors host the Orlando Magic right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.